Today, we have the privilege of spending some time with Atlanta Falcons CEO Steve Cannon. Steve took over the day-to-day leadership of their business operation back in February of 2016. He's also responsible for the rest of Arthur M. Blank Group LLC, which includes reigning MLS champions Atlanta United, as well as one of our sponsors over on the golf side on Next on the Tee, the PGA Tour Superstore. A couple of months ago, the National Wrestling Hall of Fame named Steve the organization's Outstanding American for 2019, and annually they recognize individuals who have used the discipline to launch careers in other walks of life. Steve was the captain of both the football and wrestling teams back in high school. He lettered in wrestling for 2 years at the United States Military Academy. He graduated with honors with his bachelor's degree in economics from West Point and is a former first lieutenant in the U.S. Army. After his military service, he became the assistant to the president and CEO of Mercedes-Benz North America. 20 years later, he took over that very same CEO role. Today, the Falcons are honoring local military veterans at their Military Appreciation Day, and we're honored to be able to join Steve this morning here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having us here.
It's great to be here. Welcome.
Steve, with today being Military Appreciation Day here for the Atlanta Falcons, talk about your background, the things going on today, and why this is so important to you.
We have such a powerful platform in the Atlanta Falcons, in the NFL, in Atlanta United for Major League Soccer. And the ability to use that platform to shine a spotlight on service and sacrifice is kind of a core tenet of who we are as an organization. You know, we understand, and I understand personally, what the stress and strain that 18 years of continuous combat and having soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines around 140 countries. And, you know, unfortunately, that's not being talked about on the 6 o'clock news anymore. So it's almost as if the media has moved on to other things. So unless we are very intentional about shining that spotlight, people will move on and forget their obligation to do everything we can to support transitioning soldiers, to help in any way we can, because their sacrifice is significant. So this is our opportunity to shine that spotlight, and it's a profoundly rewarding thing. When you see the energy out in the stadium today, it's just incredible.
Steve, let's go back so people understand your tie-in to the military. Talk about your decision to go to West Point, and oh, by the way, one of your brothers as well, and then being a part of the Army after that.
So I don't come from a military family. Frankly, the military wasn't on my radar at all as I was thinking about colleges. I went off to civilian college for a couple of years, College of William & Mary. Then my younger brother starts at West Point, and he came back with the most amazing tales, adventures, rappelling, firing cannons and law rockets. And just he captivated me. And I got so excited that said, I'm going to give up 2 years of college and I'm going to apply to West Point. So I ended up switching gears, getting into West Point. My younger brother was my superior officer.
And is that right?
He was, just because he was now ahead of me because I had spent a couple years off in college. And the experience of going through West Point, which is so anchored into the history of our country, you know, formed in 1802 under President Jefferson, you know, through the Civil War, through every major conflict that we've had, West Point has been part of that. So the fact that I got to do that and to do it together with my brother was just this adventure that was too good to resist.
And Steve, I read that you graduated Army Ranger School and you were assigned to the 2nd Armored Cavalry Regiment along the West Germany and Czech Republic border. And you were there when the Cold War ended in 1989. What was that like?
That's right. It was amazing to have a front seat to such an important moment in history. When I went over there, there was no inkling that the Cold War was ready to come to an end. In fact, we fought our general defense plan and we did reforger exercises back then that mobilized all of our forces. The two armored cav regiments were positioned in the two strategic avenues of approach, one in Fulda, and that was the 11th ACR. The 2nd ACR was through the kind of Czech East German border. So our mission was to patrol and essentially to drill and to fight that general defense plan. Well, that never happened. And fortunately, uprisings that started in 1988 in Czechoslovakia spread to East Germany, and it felt like this whirlwind almost overnight. Legal border crossings are popping up. So it was a really, really neat moment. It was a transition moment, so we were all obviously on high alert because you never know how things are going to turn out. But just so gratifying to have been part of that moment and to have had that front seat. It was really, really special.
Steve, I also read that members of your West Point graduating class started the Johnny Mack Soldiers Fund, which started out as a way to help the family of one of your fallen classmates, and it's grown to raise about $17 million for scholarships for children from other fallen and disabled veterans. Talk about what the original intent of that was and what it's grown into.
So John McHugh, a friend, he was in the next company over from me at West Point. Wonderful guy, smile that could light up a room. He stayed in the Army. He was a full colonel, had five wonderful children, and just deeply spiritual family guy, was killed by a suicide bomber in Afghanistan in 2010. At that point, one of the most senior officers to be killed in action over there. Left behind five kids. So we as a group kind of wrapped our arms around that family and said, we're going to take care of them. And we raised money for expenses and for college educations. And we accomplished that mission. But then a few of us got together and said, well, wait a minute, there's 7,000, 8,000 more kids just like John McHugh's kids that have lost a loved one in service to country, that ultimate sacrifice. And we made a conscientious decision to widen that aperture and form a fund. So together, a small group cobbled together the resources to form a 501c3. We called it the Johnny Mack Soldiers Fund. We did that in 2014. And we've been at it ever since. Our mission is to provide college scholarships to Gold Star kids, to the fallen, to honor that loved one by taking care of their kids. For me, it doesn't get any more important than that. Yeah. You know, what does it mean to those families to have that hero lost? And if we can step in and allow these children to get this college education, which is the best chance at success, you know, in life, that's our way of honoring. So since then, we've been at it. We've raised more than $20 million. We're knocking on 2,000 scholarships. And we're not going to quit until we feel like we've served every single one of those Gold Star kids who are so deserving of our help.
And speaking of one of your classmates, one of them is now Secretary of Defense, Dr. Mark Esper. I have to imagine at some point when the two of you were at West Point, you had a conversation that started with, if I were the Secretary of Defense, I'd do. And now he is. What's that like, you know, knowing him and getting that sort of direct pipeline to the Secretary of Defense?
Well, first of all, nobody has conversations like that because that's a – like, come on. It'd be like if I'm president of the United States. So Mark is an unbelievable guy. He's a patriot. He's been serving his country in uniform and out of uniform. The bond that unites us is that we are all soldiers for life. We came to this place as kids, you know, and then we got to serve our country and some stayed in uniform. In fact, one of my classmates just pinned on his fourth star, Joe Martin. He's the vice chief of staff of the Army. So we're now at a moment in our lives all these years later where we're kind of taking over leadership. So I've got Mark Esper as the Secretary of Defense. I got Mike Pompeo is my classmate. We were stationed together. He's the Secretary of State. Yeah. So, like, wow, who would have thought? But at the end, again, it's about service to country. And I feel that myself profoundly. Just because I hung up my uniform after 5 years of service doesn't mean my service has ended. And, you know, since that time, I've been trying to use whatever platforms that I have and whatever ability I have to continue to serve. And that's why we do Military Appreciation Days here. And that's why we stood up the Johnny Mack Soldiers Fund. I serve on the board of TAPS, which is the Tragedy Assistance Program for survivors. So there's so much need. I can never address all that need myself, but I'm going to do my best.
Steve, back in April, you tweeted out about a career symposium you guys hosted for an organization called Children of Fallen Patriots. And those are kids who have lost a parent in the line of duty. Talk about helping those kids go to college and then on to the next step as well.
Children of Fallen Patriots is an unbelievable organization. David Kim and his wife Cynthia, class of 1988 at West Point, stood that up. Johnny Mack Soldiers Fund works together with them. They've got the kids. They've got the database. They're essentially the way we take care of kids for the Johnny Mack Soldiers Fund. But going beyond just providing scholarships is, you know, we have a career symposium every year here at the Falcons and Atlanta United. Last year I had the privilege, so it's 2 years in a row, had 30 Gold Star kids that are either graduated or about to graduate from college, and they're looking out at industry and where they want to go when they grow up. And wow, how neat it was to give them kind of an overview and education on what we do for a living, the sports industry. And I now even have a couple of them working on internships here. one is doing such a great job. We've extended his stay, and it's just, you know, for me, I smile every time I think about it. The fact that we can provide not just scholarships, which is kind of charity from a distance. I believe that charity needs to be up close and personal. So the fact that I get to pass him by in the hallway every day is kind of a reminder that this is a real thing, and it's an everyday thing.
So, Steve, after your military service, you go to work for Mercedes-Benz, eventually taking over as CEO of their North American business. Talk about that and how that opportunity led you to this one.
You know, life is what happens while you're planning other things. So, you know, now as I look back on my career, it looks really neat, orderly jumps from one place to the next, that kind of had a wonderful progression that takes me here. I wish I could say I planned any of it, but it kind of happened while I was going. My experience at Mercedes-Benz was amazing. So backtrack, while I was in Germany as a lieutenant, I learned the language. That served me well, so that when I started at Mercedes-Benz, I was the American with significant experience with the culture in Germany, but I was the guy that sounded like a German. And then I got the opportunity to move back and with Mercedes-Benz to Germany, just at a moment where Germany decided we need to build a production facility in the United States. So I was then the lone guy. They said, we need you on this team. And then I became part of a Skunk Works team that ultimately selected Alabama for a $4 billion production facility. So here I am in my late 20s looking around the country for production facilities for Mercedes-Benz. Wow. So think about that. That's just good fortune and good luck. But had I not worked hard while I was over in Germany to learn the language, I wouldn't have had that skill set that actually made me stand out relative to all of my peers. So that opportunity was just amazing. And then I got the chief marketing officer job, and then right ahead of me, the chief executive had to depart, and I got the nod for that job. And for 4 years, I had the privilege of stewarding the Mercedes-Benz brand in North America. Interesting story there is, we had an offsite. It was at West Point. I invited my whole leadership team up to West Point. We had a brainstorming session around, hey, how can we position this company for the future? What are the things that we can do to become better, leaner, more efficient? And through that brainstorming session, I can remember it clearly. We were posting sticky notes all around the room. Well, one of the sticky notes was headquarter location. Like, we're in New Jersey. We've been in New Jersey for 50 years since the company was founded. Is there any significant reason why we're there? Well, that turned into a feasibility study that turned into a site selection search. So, and my experience in site selection for the plant in Alabama served me well on that. We ultimately decided on Atlanta, Georgia. And from that sticky note to moving the company through presenting it all the way to the board, it was 18 months. So,
wow.
we moved fast. It was a very decisive move. We built a brand new headquarters. We relocated the team. We hired all new people. It was an amazing adventure. And as part of that adventure, I met Arthur Blank and another neat West Point story. I'm having just a catch up dinner with a West Point buddy of mine up in Connecticut. I had met Arthur Blank, but he somehow knew the recruiter that was hired, retained by Arthur to find the first CEO for his portfolio of companies. And in a private company, you don't kind of talk about the fact that you're out searching for a CEO. So, but for that dinner with that West Point buddy of mine, I never would have found out that this was even an opportunity. Yeah. Well, I listened to this and he said, hey, it's this amazing portfolio of companies. It's a brand new stadium that's being built. It's the Falcons. It's Atlanta United. It's the PGA Tour Superstores. It's a ranch in Montana. And I got really interested while we were having dinner, called him back the next day and said, Dave, could you give me the number of that recruiter? So I got the number of the recruiter, and about 10 Arthur meetings later, and here I am, CEO of his portfolio of companies.
It's amazing to hear you talk about it, Steve, to hear how one thing led to the next, which led to the next, which led to here. It's, some of it was good fortune and being in the right place at the right time, and a lot of it was skill. Do you ever sit back and think how amazing it is to think about how all of those series of events led you to this?
Listen, I pinch myself all the time. Sometimes I feel like Forrest Gump. I've had a couple of Forrest Gump moments in my career where, wow, here I am and I get to do this. Yeah. So it's really, really fortunate. But when I do look back and try to make sense on those pivotal moments, what I notice and what I talk about a lot to kids that are coming out is, every time I took a leap of faith and I got out of my comfort zone, where I thought, hey, I can stay doing what I'm doing, or I could try something completely different, that turned into a growth spurt that opened up opportunity. So for me, the lesson learned is, life outside of your comfort zone is certainly more invigorating, but growth comes when you're challenging yourself. It's no different than when you go to the gym. Yeah. When you stress muscles, they grow. Well, when you stress yourself as a human being, growth needs to take place. And for me, growth happened every time I got out of that comfort zone. And now looking back, it's been a pretty cool progression.
So Steve, switching gears just a little bit, and I'm sure your past relationship with Mercedes-Benz led to them becoming the title sponsor of the stadium here. But they're also the title sponsor of your arch rival, the New Orleans Saints. So how do you keep all of the great ideas and the great innovations that you're doing at this stadium from ending up out at their stadium? You're walking in out there once a year when you're visiting the, obviously playing the Saints in New Orleans, going, wow, all of our stuff is out here now too.
So I did that deal in New Orleans when I was the chief marketing officer for Mercedes-Benz. And we, at that point, we had no idea we were moving to Atlanta. So this wasn't on any radar screen. Couldn't have even imagined it. So we did it. We did a nice deal. Tom Benson, may he rest in peace. He's since passed, the owner of the Saints, was also a Mercedes-Benz dealer. And he had just gotten naming rights for the Superdome. We did a deal. Net of all of it is that will expire. It's going to expire next year. And the Mercedes-Benz star will come down. It'll stay here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the next 25 years because I know Mercedes-Benz loves being connected to an iconic building, an iconic owner like Arthur Blank. And to be right here in the center of a vibrant metropolis like Atlanta. So this was a great deal. We had a little overlap period because of the way these contracts run, but soon the New Orleans deal will sunset.
Because
everybody questions, does it really make sense to have two stadiums in the NFC South? And that was certainly not intentional, but it worked out that way.
So Steve, it's understandable why today's event, the Military Appreciation Day, is so important to you. Talk about why it's important to Arthur and the rest of the organization.
Goes back to a conversation of a couple of years that first of all, Dan Quinn, our head coach, amazing, amazing guy and a deep, deep commitment to military causes. So Dan has been doing this kind of his whole life. And then I come to the organization and essentially had a conversation with Arthur where I kind of articulated the fact that, hey, we're living in the state of Georgia, between Fort Stewart, Fort Benning, Fort Gordon. We've got a higher concentration of military and military families that are bearing the brunt of all these deployments. So if there is a franchise in the NFL that needs to get honoring and giving back to the military right, it needs to be the Atlanta Falcons. Arthur said, absolutely. And, that conversation was permission to become benchmark, right? And Arthur said, run with it, Steve. Coincidentally, I had two classmates. One was commanding commanding Fort Benning, and the other was commanding Fort Stewart. So I call up my classmates and say, "Hey, we truly want to have a partnership, not a check the box, thank you for your service kind of a partnership, but we want to find deep and connected ways where we can honor and give back to the military." We had multiple brainstorming sessions with both Fort Benning and Fort Stewart, kind of at the CEO level, from commanding general to CEO, not from public affairs officer to the community relations. So we aligned at the top of the house, and we've done some really amazing things, not just having soldiers come out for football games, and we've done that, but we've had symposiums on traumatic brain injury and recovery, where we've had our docs from the NFL working together with docs in the military.
That's awesome.
Really neat, so that we can learn from each other, because traumatic brain injury and some of the issues with concussions in the NFL, certainly our interests are aligned, and it's about how do you take performance athletes, which are the military, as well as the best performance athletes, the kind of the top of the food chain, with professional sports and learn from each other. We've done some some neat things. In fact, we even had a competition up at Flowery Branch, our training group. We bought over a bunch of Rangers and really fit folks, and we had a military sort of football combine like competition that included push-ups and catching punts. It was an amazing thing, and just the esprit de corps and the mutual respect that we drive from athlete to athlete, and they both are absolute athletes. It's really kind of fun to watch.
Steve, every week on our show, we do a segment called Our Spotlight on the Positive, where we spotlight two players or organizations out there doing great things in their communities. And we do that because we believe 99% of the players and the organizations are out there doing great things. But unfortunately, you never see that on the front page of ESPN.com or the other major media outlets. And we want to bring that to the front of the table. You guys do a lot of great things throughout the year for the community. You do a lot during Breast Cancer Awareness Month with your Dazzle and Dine event for breast cancer survivors. Talk about the other things that you are doing and why that's so important to you.
What I'm really proud of is how active our players, both Atlanta United and Atlanta Falcons, are during their season on their day off. They are out in the community and they're visiting children's hospitals. They're doing Habitat for Humanity. We've got the historic West Side just in the shadow of the stadium that has not sort of enjoyed all the benefits and the positive growth that Atlanta has seen. And they're working with kids, they're mentoring, they're painting houses, they're in the community, and it's part of who we are. In fact, we have a rookie dinner each year, and we get veterans together with the rookies, and it's all about celebrating giving back and what we do in the community. And it almost is like an indoctrination for the new rookies coming into our organization. This is who we are, and this is how we show up inside of our community. And I would honestly say if you kind of ranked the commitment to giving back for the Falcons and Atlanta United against their respective leagues, they'd be at the top of both. So giving back is one of the core values of our organization. Arthur is leads by example in that regard. He's signed the giving pledge. So he's given away 95% of his net worth is going back to the community. And he is deeply committed to making the world a better place. And whether the world means your backyard or the West Side or the local children's hospitals or the world kind of in general, this organization is tuned into that. And military appreciation is a big focus for us. It's one of our key pillars, but it's just one of many when it comes to giving back to the community.
Steve, just a couple of more before we let you go. And I think some people may look at your role as the CEO of an NFL team as just that. But like you've talked about, you're responsible for Arthur Blank's complete portfolio, the Falcon Stadium Company, the PGA Tour Superstore, Atlanta United, Mountain Sky Guest Ranch. Your job is huge. So talk about what it's like being responsible for all of those brands.
It's awesome. First of all, it's great to be able to move from one organization to the other, to be in this service-oriented business at the end. For all of our businesses, it's about taking care of people. I tell folks that we're not in the football business or in the soccer business. We're in the bringing people together business, in the hospitality business. And, you know, in this world that feels so divided, where we tend to shout at each other, on Falcons football Sunday or soccer Wednesday, we put 70,000 people of different belief systems and of different demographics and of different ethnicities, and they come together and they high five and they yell rise up and they unite for Atlanta. And that is a profoundly rewarding function to serve inside of a community. So the ability to do that kind of at scale in the center of a community like Atlanta is unbelievable. So our businesses are fun and our businesses matter. It's not just frivolous entertainment. I would argue it's about bringing people together, and we do that about as well as anybody.
Steve, we can't be here today without getting your thoughts on the upcoming season. Hope springs eternal this time of year. Looking ahead to this season, is anything short of getting back to a Super Bowl and winning it this time going to be a disappointment?
Super Bowl is squarely in our crosshairs, and the way this feels is like we're at base camp and we're ready to ascend. That's the feeling that teams have as they come together and begin that journey. And, you know, and it is a journey. We have all the talent in the world on the offensive side of the ball. We've got skilled players that would go toe-to-toe with anyone in the NFL. We've really beefed up our offensive line to give Matt Ryan, our franchise quarterback, the kind of protection that he needs. You know, we fell prey to injuries last year. We lost six starters inside outside of the first couple of weeks. And that can have a profound impact on the trajectory of a team. So obviously, you know, the breaks have to fall your way. Injuries, you know, everybody out there is susceptible to that. But we feel great about our coach. We feel great about the culture that he's creating and the standard of football. He's got the buy-in of the players, sort of the hearts and minds. So we know we have all the ingredients. And of course, to say that anything less than a Super Bowl is our aim would be to be setting the bar too low. So yes, we are shooting for a Super Bowl. We've got the talent. We've got the ownership. We've got a guy like Arthur Blank who does the things that are necessary to create an environment that allows winning to happen. So you put all those things together, and yes, we're looking for the Lombardi.
Steve, we're all armchair quarterbacks, and on Mondays we all know what should have been done, how it could have been done differently or better. And as a big football fan yourself, how do you keep the reins on from wanting to go down to the field and go, "Hey, Matt, come here"?
I let the smarter football minds do what they're supposed to do. My job is to bring people together and to create a crazy environment. I mean, ultimately, the way we serve on the business side, the team, is that if we can create an environment that is so loud and so passionate that yields that home field advantage, then we have done our job to help Coach and Matt Ryan. So that's what we're doing, and we're trying to fire our fan base up. That's why we have an open practice like today, to let people know, you know, the stake is in the ground, and we're at base camp, and we're ready to ascend. And if we can harness that energy and deliver it every single Sunday, that's going to have a payoff for our team.
Steve, for our listeners, for our military personnel, our veterans, their families, or their children getting ready to go off to college, how can they find out more information about the great things you guys are doing and the help that they may need?
You know, AtlantaFalcons.com. There's lots of information on what we do, community relations. I serve on the board of the Johnny Mac Soldiers Fund, johnnymac.org. You know, ultimately what I say is, look, you don't have to be Arthur Blank with lots of zeros in your bank account to make a difference. Everybody can make a difference. And you just got to get off the sidelines and get in the game. And whether that's volunteering for a few hours or being part of something, getting the word out or writing a check, any one of those things matter. So there's 40,000 veteran service organizations that are out there. So you're not going to have trouble finding one in your backyard. You just got to get involved.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for being generous with your time. We hope we get the opportunity to come back and spend a little more time with you, hopefully during the course of the season, talk about how the Falcons are doing, and then catch up on all the great things you guys are doing.
Welcome anytime. It's been a privilege, and go Falcons.
Take care. Thank you, Steve. That is Steve Cannon, again, CEO of the Atlanta Falcons and Arthur Blank Group, LLC, and all of their major brands, particularly our good friends over at the PGA Tour Superstore. Want to give them a shout out as well. Shout out to my engineer today, Clay Shepard, for the great job that he did. And we can't thank the Atlanta Falcons and Steve enough for hosting us today. Looking forward to going to check out practice and being down on the field and seeing what the Falcons have going into this season. But thanks to Steve and everybody here, and we'll catch up with you soon. Thanks for tuning in.